good day, listeners. As always, you are tuning in to CIDI's daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits, and I am your host for today's episode, Kayla McClure. 3 years after opening its doors in the former Sutton Creamery, the Sutton School of Art has expanded on its artistic and creative opportunities with the goal of helping bridge the gaps between the region's linguistic communities and providing children with a chance for exploration and self-discovery. The Sutton School of Art is the brainchild of Sutton resident Anne-Marie Loving, and it dates back to 2016. According to its website, the Sutton School of Art officially became a nonprofit organization in 2021, after Anne-Marie purchased the former creamery in Sutton in 2020 to have a proper space where she, other artists, or those with a passion for creativity could bring their expertise and love for art to the children of Sutton and its surrounding areas. Since then, the Sutton School of Art has only continued to grow by adding new programs or expanding on their existing ones to better meet the realities of the Sutton community and other communities in Brome, Missisquoi. CIDI had the chance to sit down with Anne-Marie to highlight the steps that the Sutton School of Art has taken to help build connections within our communities and to provide children with the opportunity to get creative. Also joining us for today's conversation is Mika, local artist and member of the Sutton School of Art team. We hope that you enjoy our conversation. Anne-Marie and Mika, thank you so much for coming on down to CIDI to chat all about the Sutton School of Art. We really appreciate you coming on down today and for taking the time out of your day to chat with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Taylor.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So Anne-Marie and Mika, like I mentioned, we're here today to discuss the Sutton School of Art. And Anne-Marie, you and I actually had the chance to discuss the Sutton School of Art a couple of years ago back in 2020 when you were just opening up the doors to the Sutton School of Art in your new space at the historical creamery in Sutton. I know the school has come a long way since then, and we haven't really had a chance to catch up. So to kick off today's conversation, I was wondering if you could just maybe start off by highlighting what the Sutton School of Art is for our listeners and what mission is at the core of the Sutton School of Art.
Yes, thank you so much, Taylor, for having the chance to see each other again and talk about this project that has evolved since we've discussed 3 years ago, I believe. we worked on this project in a very wide scope of activities, and I'm happy to say that we are thriving and we are happy to be active all throughout the four seasons. We are really working on the idea that art is a way of life. So it's not just the visual arts. It's a community, a sense of belonging to a community, and making sure that our mission is fulfilled because we are dedicated to children. Okay. But to be dedicated to offering children the chance to meet artists and offering artists the opportunity to meet children, it creates a very unique, rare, and strong bond that can help our society grow and evolve with very important values, such as respect and sharing and exploring, trying to understand one and each other without having biases or preconceptions, because every artist is so different.
Yes.
So I'll give you an example. We can discover literature, photography, or drawing in so many different ways. So we are very far away from, let's say, the academia with the mandate of research or a proper school with criterias of performance or evaluation.
Yeah.
We are dedicated to the exploration of what art means.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship between children and artists.
It seems to be like a collective artistic experience that you kind of want to offer to the community of Sutton.
Yes, it's collective. We do encourage strongly every child to develop its own individual capacity to express and to discover the world. And also, it's a very long research. It's something that you carry on all your life.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that humility is very important. So we encourage everyone to actually be aware that children are great teachers for our society. And if we serve children, we maybe have a chance to have a society that's a little bit more peaceful and respectful. We really need to make sure that they actually have a positive view of the world and of our societies, and that gives them hope, because it's not hopeless, but it can sure feel that way, yes. So we're actors of change, and to be in the creamery, it's a transformation. it's a place of transformation. And now this place of transformation is dedicated to the arts. So we explore all disciplines. And what we want is artists to be very comfortable. If an artist comes in and they want to work wood and paper and plants, it's possible. If they are interested in writing, but they want to incorporate other disciplines that are completely far off, we are open to making sure that all artistic disciplines are connected.
Yes.
In under one roof.
Okay.
So yeah, so that's still on, and yeah. So I'm happy to say that we've been working every day since we've spoken to each other.
One of my questions for you was, how does the Sutton School of Art go about kind of accomplishing this? What sort of opportunities do you offer to experience these artistic disciplines? Perhaps you and Nika can team up on that question, because I know you spoke very highly of him in the role that he plays at the Sutton School of Art.
From my very own personal experience, both as a user, I guess, or a person that participates, I guess, or takes advantage of what the school has to offer, and as well as a photographer that offers some workshops and summer camps and other projects at the School of Art, I see both sides of it. Mm. Just to give an example, one of the ways that the school does what it does is with the summer camps. So throughout the summers, every week, this year it was three different disciplines every week that had a workshop with about, I guess the average would be about 10 kids per workshop.
Yeah, summer we welcomed more than 200 children.
In total.
250. Yeah. We have the capacity for 300 to 500, but we don't, I think it's important to not grow too big.
Yes, to be overwhelmed.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so for my camp, for example, for a week, I have eight teenagers who are interested in photography, and I share with them what I know about the practice. And it's not so much about them learning the theory and really building like a profound knowledge of what photography is, but it's really more about experimenting and playing with it. It's called the School of Art, but it's like school sometimes can be a bit maybe reductive in what it means, because it's so much more than a school. You don't really, yes, you do learn, but the center, like for me anyway, and the way I see it, is like the main objective is not to learn. The main objective is to explore, to discover, and to experience.
Yeah.
And through all that, yes, you do learn, but you don't come here to learn. You come here to have an experience.
Yeah, you're learning in a different way.
Exactly. Yeah.
The last time that we spoke, Anne-Marie, I remember you and I were discussing how you wanted the Sutton School of Art to offer programs, activities, and opportunities to both of our linguistic communities here. You wanted to expand the offerings to the English-speaking community in particular, and to ensure that you had the right people, the right resources in place, and experience the Sutton School of Art as well. This is what I was most curious about going into our conversation today, because from my understanding, this is something that you have been working really hard on, to develop a bilingual program for our communities. And so I was just wondering, is this something that the Sutton School of Art has been able to accomplish over these last couple of years? And if so, what have you been doing to ensure that English speakers have access to your program?
Very good question. Well said. I believe that every challenge is an absolutely fantastic opportunity to grow. So, of course, welcoming the English-speaking community is a challenge, and it, such as welcoming the French-speaking community and other, actually, linguistic,
yes.
Because Quebec is welcoming communities from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, what we've done is make sure that our communications, as much as possible, are in both languages. But we also have the chance of working with Tuprin Baldo, who has the mandate of ensuring that there's a liaison,
yes,
with our communities, different neighborhoods. So Sutton has a school that is bilingual, because there's two school boards. It's not easy for a parent. It's actually something that's very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sending my child to a school where it's possible to be in an English immersive.
Yeah,
I think we can better this possibility of speaking in both languages. So inviting the English-speaking community to be in Francophone environments and vice versa. What we do know at the art school is that this is happening through actions. So we have camps that will be offered to English-speaking families.
Yes.
We'll be welcoming also children from the Francophone community who wants to learn English.
Wow, okay.
So amazing opportunity to, you know, get better at it.
Yes.
With artists who teach in English. Mm-hmm. We are also making sure that we are meeting the schools that are dedicated to the English speaking community. So we go to conventions and we are making contact with foundations or organizations that have this at heart.
Yes.
So we're bridging. And it's a long-term investment and a long-term engagement. So I believe in small steps. You know, we've been starting with this.
And if I can speak for my own summer camp, which is a week, it's always bilingual because some of the teens that participated were Francophones, some were Anglophones, and some were Ukrainian. So they barely even spoke both of the languages.
Yes.
So it's a linguistic challenge, but it's also part of the experience. It's an exchange of cultures, and it's learning to communicate also. Because through art, you can actually communicate without using language sometimes. So we can create bridges between communities that don't speak the same language and find ways for them to interact and engage with one another, even if they don't understand their respective languages. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's a great point that I never even thought of. Thank you so much, Mika, for highlighting that.
Having interpreters in an amicable way brings also rapprochement, like it bridges the two languages. Because, for example, I remember when Wangeshi Motu came to teach a collage, she came from Kenya. She spoke only English with and also different languages have dialects and
or
accents, which hires a level of complexity to understand. But the interpreter was her friend. She spoke very well both languages, so she could be able to translate.
Okay.
We really think that children to be in contact with different languages is language is a door to culture. So it's very important to not be worried that we can explore different languages without losing our own specificity.
Yes.
We have, children have the capacity, the talent and the intelligence to speak many languages. I'm not worried. Also, we wanted to develop the possibility of having a third language, you know, to respect the territory on which the creamery is. So we're on a land that was a passage for the Abenaki culture.
Yes.
So this is another challenge, but I believe that working with like small projects will enable us eventually to really be officially active in maintaining this wealth. It's something to be shared.
One other thing that I do for the school is I host a podcast for a little book fair where I go and meet the local authors of the region. And have very intimate conversations with them. And one of the episodes, I went to meet Louis Penny. We managed to organize an encounter between Louis Penny and
Raymond Cloutier,
who is a local author and comedian as well, very, very popular in the Quebec scene. And he happens to be the guy who does the audiobook, the French audiobooks adaptation for Louis Penny. And she had never met him before. They were both super excited to finally meet one another. And it was a beautiful exchange, a beautiful encounter. So again, creating bridges between the Anglos and Francos communities.
So that seems to be a priority for you, is that whatever projects or activities you're implementing, it's all about bringing our communities together.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I guess it's just also acknowledging and just living with the fact that we live in a part of the world where we both speak English and French.
Yes, exactly.
And both communities exist here. And many people speak and think in Franglish.
No. Yes, including myself.
There you go. So it's part of the reality, and it's what we do.
Yeah. Yes. And let's not forget that our frontiers, we share a very close by frontier with Vermont and New England. One of the priorities for the art school is to also connect with our neighbors. At the art school, I believe that we have the capacity to welcome them, not just as visitors, but as friends. So hopefully we can connect with organizations that are close by, such as the Bread and Puppet organization that is, you know, a monument. And there's so many opportunities that we want to create for our fellow Americans to come in and see each other, because this frontier shouldn't be separating us, but actually become a meeting place where we can really exchange our visions and share our bonne pratique, le, the best practices.
And grow
practices.
Together.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yes, so the art school is very much, it's not just the English speaking community. It's opening up to the world and to our neighbors.
Yeah. Lovely. And you mentioned throughout this conversation, you touched on the fact that the Sutton School of Art organizes an art camp during the summer, the books fair, the Petit Salon, and public arts exhibitions. And those are some of the things that I remember. But has the Sutton School of Art expanded its horizons in recent years with different activities and programming for the Sutton community? Or have you expanded on some of your existing programs to better meet the realities here? I didn't know if either of you wanted to comment on that.
Well, you can probably complete what I'm going to say. But recently, I just gave a series of workshops.
To classes
from the Cowansville Secondary School. So that's new also. I think it's the first time that actual workshops focusing on one art discipline are hosted for classes. So that's one way.
And so school outings are definitely something very precious because the art camps, we're inviting families to register their children.
Okay.
But with the school outings, the beauty of that project is that it's open to all children.
Yes.
They don't need to register to an art camp, but they have the possibility of experiencing what the art school is about.
So it makes it just more accessible to to children.
Exactly. It's very important for us to work on the school, the welcoming schools and groups. So, that's going on all year.
Okay.
From, you know, 3 year olds in kindergartens to actual art schools, such as art schools from Montreal or wherever they may be. They are, you know, being received or welcomed to the art school. The program at the art school is divided a little bit in seasons. Because we live in a rural community, we're very much close to nature. So every season is very different. Summer is an explosion of, you know, because it's a little bit like what nature does. It just generates a lot of colors and flavors and textures. So visual arts in all its forms. And we have movie nights on Fridays under the stars. Weekends where, you know, tourists can come and visit the place with or without children to visit exhibitions. And during the fall season, we have the school outings. And we also have Les Journées de la Culture. It's the occasion of having a folk music being played live and exhibiting everything that's been done during the summertime.
Okay.
So it's 3 days where we open all our doors and we invite everyone who doesn't know us to discover the place. Very important. So it's the last weekend of September. We have winter in literature. Books are also one of the best gifts to offer. And if you add to this the possibility of encouraging a local author, it's a really well-rounded project because it makes sense for the season, for the children, for the community, and we're helping authors who are actually giving us a gift. When you write a book, very rarely will you be able to live off the profits from the sales. So it's very generous from them. So the art school wants to encourage 100% the work of our beloved authors. We have like a fifth season. We've been opening up our doors to a skate cafe. It's going to be a repeat this year. And so the skate cafe is between January and March. So it's the possibility of discovering all the culture around skateboarding. And then we have spring with architects. We really want to have children in contact with the builders of our environments.
Yes.
Landscape architect, constructing. How do we build houses? Mm-hmm. How do we live together? It's a conversation that needs to happen more and more, but we want to involve children. Whether you have the financial capacity to hire an architect or not, I believe that they are one of our precious collaborators in society. They want to share so much beauty. So we need to enable those encounters.
Yes.
So yeah, that sums up pretty much all our seasons.
And what's next for the Sutton School of Art? Are there any new activities that people should keep their eyes or their ears out for? I know that you have one event coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, we do. So I encourage all of you to come to the book fair. It's a little book fair, maybe not so little anymore because it reunites hundreds of authors. We have hundreds of titles on one table, conferences, balado, interviews. We have also book readings for children. It's the chance to come and buy books to offer them during the holidays and to also have it signed by the authors. So it's the possibility of having a personal dédicace, like a personal signature.
Yeah, personal note.
Exactly.
I think it's important to note that the Little Book Fair, when you compare it to the Montreal Book Fair, for example, for having done as an author the Salon du Livre in Montreal and the Little Book Fair, they only have the name in common. Because in Montreal, it's a giant fair. There's so much people everywhere. There's plenty of authors doing signings, but you have about like 2 seconds with each author to get your sign, your book signed. And then it's a place of consumerism, for books, for literature, which I have nothing against. But it's still a consumerism place. In Sutton, the Little Book Fair, it's more a social place. It's a community place. So. Yeah. When we say you can meet the authors there, you can actually meet them. It's not just like see them from afar. They're going to sign your book, say hi, thank you very much, have a great day. You can actually meet them, not as authors, but as humans and have an actual conversation with them. It's incomparable.
Well, thank you so much, Anne-Marie and Mika, for coming down to CIDI to chat all about the Sutton School of Art and all the wonderful things that are going on and that will be going on. Please feel free to mention anything else that you think would be important for people to be aware of that maybe I didn't touch on in my questions.
I just wanted to say that December 8th, we are for the first time hosting an event to say thank you to everyone who's been generous enough to help us, to give their time, effort, money, energy. Small gestures can really make a huge difference in the long term. So, so I invite any collaborator, volunteer, artist who's donated time to please come on the 8th. We want to see you. We want to say thank you. And, this, Friday, it's going to be from 5 to 7, at the art school. During the book fair. And we just want to offer you, the possibility of sharing together a beautiful evening with a concert dedicated to you.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Taylor.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.